Hello everyone, and welcome back to another Tanisha.com podcast. This week is a little bit different. It's a recording of a Zoom call that I had with a friend from uni, Taylor Hausman, and it's part of a series that I'm running for one of my subjects where I interview my fellow BCM students. The last one ended up being more of a transcript, but this one I decided to record and publish as a podcast, meaning that anyone listening to it can just sit in on our conversation while you do your little tasks in lockdown. You can clean your room, you could do your washing up, you could do your millions of uni assignments, and just have us talking about absolutely everything on earth in the background. You might notice that it's about 40 minutes longer than any other podcast I've ever done, but I'm glad we had so much to talk about. We forgot to record us saying hello and goodbye, so I'm going to bookend this recording with just me scoping it out. Thank you in advance for listening, and any feedback is obviously always welcome. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. Well, first things first, I guess you will have to introduce yourself.
Oh, it's the worst thing.
Yeah. Name, degree, where did you grow up? What do you like? What are you into? I'll look away.
Name is Taylor. I'm not saying the last name.
Why?
Fine, I'll say the last name is Hausman. There is no E. There is no E in the spelling. Okay. And no, it's not pronounced Hausman. What was the rest of the question? Oh, where did I grow up? Jervis Bay. There is nothing to do but maybe go to a beach and drive in a car.
That's what Dobbo's like, except without the beach. That's just driving.
Yeah, see, at least we have the beach.
That's true.
Everyone's like, Himes Beach, like, it's not that great.
Honestly, it's beach.
Like every other beach. You've seen one, you've seen them all.
True. True. No, but, like, you go to the beach and it's so exciting, and then you get sand in your shoes and sand in the car and sand everywhere. You get nearly killed by a rip, and it, like, it's always
true.
It's better than it is.
I've been caught in many of those.
Me too. I was watching SAS the other day, which is like this, I don't know if you've seen it. There's like, it's a free-to-air TV show. basically they send a bunch of like B-list celebrities, like Australian celebrities, to like an army camp where they just do like the course just to see if they can make it. And one of the guys, like,
he's... That's a bit of an egotistical thing to think that you can.
And, like, one of the guys, I think he's an athlete or something, but one, he's, like, big traumatic story is that he got caught in a rip and now he's scared of water.
It's so common. The only, traumatizing fact about my one was that I was, like, my mom, many friends, right? Mm-hmm. Many friends. And so a bunch of kids, usually, from all different people. Normally me as the oldest, I had to babysit or, like, look after them. Anyway, we're swimming at, like, this beach, basically in the middle of nowhere, off the highway, you know how it is. And one of the older kids, who wasn't quite my age but, like, wasn't as young as the others, was, like, following me. And we get caught in a rip. And next minute he drops the I can't swim.
Oh, God.
Thing on me. And I'm like.
And you're like, what? I'm going to have to save this fool.
And so he, like, we're getting, like, pulled out to, like, he can't touch the ground and everything. This kid's, like, drowning. I'm going to, like, throw him on my back and drag us out. And that was the traumatizing thing, is that this kid's got to depend on me to save his life. Oh, my God.
I couldn't.
Why did he choose that moment to drop? I can't swim.
Oh, God.
Like, neck deep in water. Yeah. I can't.
Your degree. You need to tell me. What you doing?
Oh, yes. Communications and media. I believe I'm majoring in creative writing.
You believe? You're not sure?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Me too. I only, like, declared my major this year. So,
like, I only, like, I don't know, the whole major process is, like, so confusing.
All right. So we met, you and I, in the typical way that two BCM students do in the middle of a pandemic.
Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter. By memory, this happened because I posted a completely baseless and kind of bold tweet where I claimed that there was a clear link between people who stan Five Sauce and bisexuals.
Is that the tweet? I can never remember what moment it was.
I went back and I like searched both our names. It was a whole thing. What journalism has done.
Dedicated.
Yeah. I know how to like deep search Twitter, and that is what my degree has taught me. But anyway, your reply to that tweet obviously indicated that we had at least two things in common. And from there flourished a beautiful, mostly online friendship, which has lasted about a year now. The lockdown sucks, but have you found in some ways that it is easier to create like meaningful relationships online as compared to in person?
Oh, this is a good question. Okay, because I have relevancy to this question as of the other night. It's not tea.
Oh, no.
But so in a way, yes, it's easier to make friends because I'm not as anxious online. My online persona is so confident, so bold. I am not, like, if I was in person, I'd be in the back of the classroom, like, not talking to anyone.
Yeah.
At all, completely intimidated, probably because women are really pretty.
That's very true.
And so when they're really pretty, I'm like, they're gonna hate me because all the pretty mean girls hated me in high school.
Yeah.
And so they intimidate me. But online, so much easier. However, in the sense of meaningful, I find it harder because this is where like the relevancy comes in. The other night I was even having a mad chat with my friend who lives in Wollongong. And he was talking about just his friends. Clearly I wasn't included in this statement. And so I was like, so what is our friendship then? And then he was like, no, it's a good friendship. It's just theirs is more visible because they can hang out and I live in the middle of nowhere. And like, no hate, like it's so true.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, like I feel that there's always like a distance and a disconnect, which is very isolating and lonely.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I went to uni and by the end of high school, I was feeling like very disconnected on like an intellectual and like emotional level to the kids that I grew up with. Well, most of them, like Caitlin's cool, but.
Am I allowed to be mean?
Yeah, you're allowed to be
in my.
Let me.
Oh, good.
But like, I've ended up not necessarily cutting off a lot of my mates, but like realizing that a lot of friendships are really only there because you see them every day, and like, it's less valuable, I guess. So my hope was like to find people that had similar interests than me, like thought in a similar way, blah blah blah. I know that you've had a similar experience with the kids you've.
Yeah.
And it's been like inconvenient that we haven't had a massive chance to sort of go and branch out and find new people and stuff. We've done a good job, I think. But I guess in what ways do you think that like that process of sort of stripping yourself of high school is important?
Okay. I think it is so important, to be honest. I don't know if people who like I know so many people who grew up in Wollongong and go to Wollongong Uni, you know, like they're still in their state, like their hometown, but like, and I only moved away for like 4 months, I think, but like that whole process of cutting everyone off, it was very painful, very hard, but the best thing I ever did, because like there, high school, I don't know if it's different in smaller towns, because there's like so many people like clustered together in comparison to like all these different schools that are around, because there's usually like the one, like at my high school, there was like kids from Ulladulla.
Oh, okay.
From like, yeah, and I'm in Vincentia. That's like, yeah. And like, it's like nearly 2 hours, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you had people from Nowra who weren't going to the Nowra schools. Like, it, there's vast amount of people. Mm. So in a way, you would think that would make it like easier to find people who are similar to you because there's more people. But no, it's like they all have like the small town mindset. If that makes sense, like half of them have gone to get a trade, which like good to them.
Yeah.
Like fine. Like if that's like what you want, like there's no shade. But then there's also the half of your friends who aren't really doing anything, don't want to do anything. And when you're in a small town, if you don't leave, if you don't branch out, like that, those friendships will, like their mindset will start to affect yours.
Yes.
Like, and so meeting people who are like very similar to you, not necessarily in like hobbies or like that kind of stuff, like even us, like we do not have the same music taste, like not even remotely really, or even the same style.
Like, very like opposite, to be honest.
Yeah, we're very opposites, but like that's not why we're friends, like really, yeah, you know yeah. What I'm saying, like
true.
And it's just so much better to branch out from people who are different from you.
Yeah,
as well, like in high school I was, well, the scene kid, so I was around with all these fellow emo kids.
Yeah.
And I've like kind of concluded I kind of don't like hanging around with people who are like that as much as what I did when I was a kid.
That's
because it's very small-minded, you know, if you only like hang out with people who have the same exact interests as you, like you're never gonna live a life or get better experiences if you isolate yourself like that.
Yeah.
So I think the process is very important because you can miss out on like so much.
Yeah.
Like I never would have foreseen me being friends with you, like not based like on you, just like online personas, like we're so very different.
Mm.
And even my other friends, like, but yeah, you guys are like my closest friends that I have, so you just miss out if you didn't branch out.
No, I think you're right. I think like making friends with people that are too similar to me on like an aesthetic, like a sort of baseline.
Yeah. Or,
it's like
the fun. Aesthetic thing, like, it's like, I don't know if it's because I was like an emo kid and like, you know, like the whole aesthetic of that is like so important. Like
yeah.
It's like, it's so important. It's like constant discourse. So I don't know, when you become friends with people just because they're the same aesthetic, it's like that's all your friendship is. It's like performative in a way. It's not actually like a friendship.
All right. In terms of like obviously same mindset but like different aesthetics, I think that it's allowed us to sort of like teach each other in some ways and like still have that baseline of like understanding or like willingness to understand.
Yeah.
So you have done me the honor of making me a few playlists and like putting me on some like music that is closer to your sort of taste.
Oh, have I?
You have.
I didn't know if that playlist did anything. I was just like, here's a playlist.
Oh, I love it.
I know we have such different music tastes, so I was like trying to put the tame stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the stuff that wouldn't be like to be like I don't think I put anything like heavy rap stuff in there.
No.
Like
I'm glad. Oh, that's like a good level of empathy, I think. But my question is, how did you get into that like sort of music scene that you like?
Oh.
Yeah. And like how does it enrich
you? That's such a long story.
Okay. I'm excited.
Oh my god. I was born and then right. Amazing. I was born in like in autumn of 2002 and my father went, this is music. So that's how it happened. Yeah, I was raised on music, always was. Like as a kid, I used to put on Fall Out Boy's Live in Phoenix, maybe. I think it's Phoenix. But, like, it was, like, early Flatboy, like, live DVD, and it just, because it entertained me so much as a kid. Like, I don't know why. And then on my mom's side, because my parents are separated, have been, like, my whole life, or, like, my cousins, they're not, like, really related, but, like, my cousins, they, like, used to, like, put all this music on, like, an iPod for me and just give it to me. And that's how I encountered, like, MySpace scene music from the early 2000s, even though I was a child and wasn't living the scene life then. But, like, that's how, like, the Millionaires and, like, Hollywood Undead and everything, like, impacted me when it definitely shouldn't have. And then I had a separate iPod at my dad's who also uploaded just, like, a bunch of music, like, all different stuff, like, Avril Lavigne, which I really loved, for obvious reasons. And then my mom understood. She was like, oh, she's a music one, and my mom isn't. So she brought me all, like, Taylor Swift's country albums when, like, I was a kid, and I used to listen to those all the time. Fearless and Speak Now forever hold such a deep-rooted part of my soul. And then with, like, getting into, like, what music I do like, she also brought me, do you remember, like, those So Fresh CDs?
Yes.
Okay. And how it was, like, all the hits from that year. Okay, 2007. I'm in kindergarten. It's, like, a thing like that, but it was, like, a DVD of, like, all music videos from the hits of that year, right? So Misery Business by Paramore, because their Riot album came out in 2007, was on there, and I would religiously watch that music video all the time. I also think it's partly because I'm a bit fruity, just
Hayley like will do it too.
Yeah, like, I reckon Hayley Williams was really a turning point in my sexuality and my, like, music
taste. Hang on a minute.
I was like, damn, I love this. And then I was a Twilight fan. Ooh. And the original soundtrack for that first movie, Paramore, you know, Linkin Park. I also grew up on Linkin Park, like, their first album, all that. Just and so that's where, like, it branched from. And then as I got older, I, like, got, when you, like, try to find your own music taste, I, like, explored so much more. And then I distinctly remember how I got into emo, like, the depressing emo.
Yeah.
So Tumblr happened, as it does. I was in, like, year six or, like, year seven. And I discovered, even though I do not like them and I don't listen to them, I did discover Blackwell Brides.
Valid.
And I was like, okay. But that led me to discovering who I would consider, I don't know, there's bands that, like, go together, if that makes sense. Like, you mention one, you've got to, like, mention the other. If and, like, certain time periods, and around that time period, it was always, are you a Blackwell Brides or an Asking Alexandria fan? And I loved Asking Alexandria. I was like, oh my god, look at this. And then Tumblr just introduced me to, like, everything. Bless Tumblr. Bless it. R.I.P.
We were definitely on, like different sides of Tumblr.
Yeah, no, I was, like, on, but that's the thing. Tumblr, like, introduced me to so many different sides, because it introduced me to, you know, like, the whole grunge thing that was happening. Yep. But, like, as someone, because I grew up with music from my dad, so I, like, Pearl Jam, like, all that kind of stuff, like, already listened to grunge. I was like, ooh, and I, like, had a full intense grunge phase for, like, I don't know, I think it was, like, year nine and, like, early year 10, where I was also having a grunge phase. I was, like, Stone Temple Pilots, Alice in Chains, and then the 1975 as well, like, and Give It All to Me.
That's where I was going. I wanted to be grunge. Yeah. Like, I wanted to be, but I was so, like, top knot in a flannel person.
Yes, but you see, I also, like, loved 5 Second Summer from, like, the very early days.
It was
I still have their Dolly photo shoots from when they were, like, 16. like I have life-size posters. I've still got them. Never forget. But and so I was very much also like the flannel wearing, which that I would say, as well as I was like raised on like Fall Out Boy, which is like more emo, which is kind of like more goth, but like the emo side of it. But a lot of people put that along with like Panic, even though I don't like Panic at the Disco at all. I never have. It's such a hot. It's such a hot take. Everyone loves Panic. I'm like, no.
It is a hot never take. Have. I thought you were going to say, like, oh, like, I liked it when I was younger. Like, a lot of people have come off it, but.
No, you see, I came out as bi very early. And, like, this one song that everyone has an issue with now, because it's, like, Brandon sexualizing lesbians. Like, I was always just, like, iffy. But I think I've always known. Because my family is very accepting. Like, my older brother's gay. So, like, I've always known. So, like, I guess that stuff, I was like, ooh. And I don't like Panic.
You were like, this is Dodge.
Yeah. Like, always got that vibe from him. But that's such a shame that I ended up liking pop punk, because you need to have that vibe for everyone. but I'm getting to that, right? This is such a long story. but, like, I also kind of had... wasn't like raised on, but like introduced to by my dad, was like the Yellow Card, and like, which is like pop punk from like the early 2000s, like that kind of, which then led me to like Sum 41, and Avril Lavigne led me to Sum 41 because she was married to like the singer, like I believe that's what Skater Boy is about, actually, like them. Yeah. Like, it was very much the, like, the pop punk scene at that time. And even though I technically wasn't born, and when I was a child, it just led me to all these different waves. And then Tumblr had such a very big pop punk scene. Like, it was massive. Like, the Midwest pop punk scene was massive. That's when, like, Sad Boy pop punk became a thing. And because I was at the age of like being like a teenager, unlike with all the other stuff, when that happened, that's what like I got swept up in. And I kind of never left, so here I am. I listen to everything. I the most recent music thing would be about a year ago, my one of my best friends who I met through BCM was like, I listen to emo rap, and I'm like, you know, I don't, but as an emo kid, I probably should. And now I listen to a lot of rap that's not just emo rap, but like,
that's cool.
Like I'm listening to Future.
Wow. Okay.
You wouldn't expect it, but like, no, but like, wow. I just listen to everything. Music's always been just a thing for me.
Yeah.
I was born and they just gave me music.
I was born. So.
Yeah, it's so much more detailed and there's so much more to it, so like, it's already a long story.
That's okay, thank you so much. Okay, so another facet of our friendship that I value beyond description is like this ongoing public and private support of like each other's projects and stuff, so our creative endeavors and etc. Unfortunately, I think that we've both had like some experience with the way that like high school culture makes it like uncool to like things in public.
can I like say a quick thing before you lead off? When I was in, I think like year 8, year 7, they would hold like writing contests and they'll like announce it and stuff all the time. And as a writer, I was always interested, but like I had older friends and just friends who were more confident. I'm like a quiet person, like quiet anxious kid, and they always be like, that's so cringe, why would you do anything, you know? And so that really like held me back from ever like doing a lot of extra work in high school. Like I did some, but like especially in senior year, because I wanted that degree, had to do the extra. But yeah, like it's uncool to have interests that are academic or I want to get you. Like I
especially like as a female presenting person. Like.
Yeah. I've recently blocked a bunch of people from high school. Not even necessarily because I have issues with them, but solely because like my online presence is very much my career-based stuff as well now. And so if I want to post about my work, I want to. I don't want to be seeing there like, oh, my God, the kids from high school who are doing nothing are going to be sitting outside with their beers being like, look, Taylor's written something about this. And then, like, I just don't care for them to, like, know what I'm doing with my life anymore. So yeah.
Your BCM 114 DA was an art account, and I'm not sure whether it was before or after that Twitter interaction. That might have been, I'm not sure. But you had done this beautiful ethereal pink and purple artwork of Mr. Luke Hemmings.
Credit to whoever took the photo of that, that I looked at and went, yeah.
I love it. although at that point I had been an Ashton girl, like, all the way. I didn't get into Luke until he was like feminine.
See, I can talk about this. What? I have a thing for every single one, and it's ever changing. When I was a kid, I liked Callum because I'm like, hell yeah, another poly boy, get that rep. and then I liked Luke because he had the lip ring. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty cute. And then I liked Mikey because he has more of the emo personality, you know? And so I was like, and very much now I'm like, damn, Ashton's pretty cool, you know? Like, he's just adorable, a sweet soul. He's so funny.
I was an Ashton girl, but I was like, I've never seen anything like this. I'd never seen, like, anything in that sort of style. I was like, this is sick as, and most merch is fucking ugly, right?
Their merch is quite ugly. Yeah. I'm not ashamed to admit it. They should hire me.
Yeah, true. That's funny. Yeah. But I tweeted it, I think, and I was like, I need this printed. I demand it. I need it on a shirt. I need you to sell it to me. and I love
it. I did it just for you. I was like, here you go.
Yeah.
You're the only one that has it too. I think I took it down. You're one of a kind.
So beautiful. But yeah, I love it. Caitlin loves it because she stole it for a number of weeks. I didn't see it for a while.
That makes me love it more.
Yeah. and likewise, I dropped photography prints at the end of last year. And you bought them and posted them. And I was like so chuffed to just like see them on what was right there.
I owe a lot to you, like, retweeting my recent blog post, because one of the bands followed me back on Twitter, and then the vocalist followed me and retweeted it himself and was like, this with like exclamation marks, and I was like,
that's so
and that was cool on itself. And then the vocalist, like, on his personal account followed me on Instagram, right and then I responded to like one of their stories because they're playing like a show in like LA, and I was like, damn, I wish I could be there, but I can't, obviously, because I'm Australian.
After that, I'm really just like giving like a summary of our friendship right now. We'll get to like,
that's great, our friendship's great.
I love
what it. An amazing achievement to happen out of uni.
True, the upside of lockdown. okay. Another thing, I think we must have taken the friendship to Instagram DMs. I think I tried you like a bunch of times because I was like trying so hard to be a friend. I was like, you seem so cool. I was like,
yeah, I had like a really big friend crush on you. Like, I would see your tweets and I was like, I love this person. I'm so friends with them. Like, but then I think you like followed me. I followed you. I don't know whoever did it, but it was like the main Instagrams like got followed, and then the same day the privates did. And it was just like, and it left from there.
I checked it down, and then when I got my t-shirt, I think I posted it on my story and tagged you, and then like we talked like that day, and then like didn't talk for ages, and I was like, I'm trying to be best friends.
You see, I'm really bad at picking up when like people want to be friends or like actually like me, no, because all my friends in high school were not like that. They were like,
we definitely bonded in like our first few like proper conversations over hating Leo men.
Oh my god.
And like a very casual
Leo hate club.
I hate it. Fire signs more every day. I'm like,
ooh. I only like Aries.
I like Aries depending on the rest of their chart. I like Aries. Yeah.
I like Aries placements. I don't know how I would feel with an Aries sun.
Yeah.
But like if you have Aries placements, then mm-hmm. I'm like a Libra rising, and Aries is the opposite of Libra.
Right.
So
it's I get like Aries. I'm drawn to Aries. A lot of the people I've had in my life have been Aries suns.
I've never met an Aries sun.
Really? I know so many. You can have some. I got an iced coffee today, and you know how I had said that I started drinking coffee again because this girl...
Because of the curly-haired barista?
Yeah. She gave me the wrong drink, blah, blah, blah. But I went in there this afternoon, and she was there again, and I bought my coffee, and then I told her, like, the whole story, and... she put like extra cream on there. She made it how I like, and like I was fully blushing the whole way home just from that like 5 minute interaction. I was like, I'm in love with this stranger. But I'll forget about it tomorrow because Aries Venus, you know. fall in love with the next person.
I'm just simp for an Aries Venus.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Aries Venus and Sag Mars is like. I want people to want to be friends with me. Like, I want you to come to me, but also if you don't straight away, I'll just do it.
Yeah, I'm a Taurus Mars.
Oh, you'd be waiting. You just be waiting. Regardless, I don't like Leos. I don't like Leo men. I like Leo women. They're lovely.
I just don't like Leos.
No, that's fair.
It's like very rare. Yes. If I could like you, you're gonna be like very self-aware and very healthy as a person.
Yeah,
as a Leo, it's for me to like you.
Yeah, I saw like a TikTok that basically explained that like the thing with Leos and Tauruses is like we have the same sort of like cosmic mission, but like in opposite ways. So like
that's yeah
like Tauruses are supposed to like come to understand themselves showing that to others, whereas like Leos are supposed to sort of show others who they are and by that develop like a self thing.
That's how I feel about like Aries, like being like the Libra being like on one angle and like the Aries, and it's just but like you get each other. yeah
we bonded over that and like a casual interest in astrology, and on my part that was mostly speculative because I didn't know shit at that point. But I've come to learn a lot more in the last year, and you've tolerated me talking absolute shit about it.
I don't mind. No one else talks.
But above all else, I think with astrology, whether you believe in it or like not, I think it's a great way of making friends and getting to know someone. I think it opens up a casual conversation about self-identity in a way that doesn't seem confrontational. A good tool in that way. Do you agree? Do you have thoughts about that?
I do agree. It's also it's just like it's kind of a little bit like how I became friends with Ross, I guess, a little bit. Like, I taught him stuff. But then with you, it was like you knew like basics, like you at least knew like what a rising sign was, you know, and stuff. And so I was like, I don't know, it's just easier.
Yeah, that's true. I think people that like talk about astrology more than like pop astrology, but even that's like valuable to me. I think it shows just like a like an interest in like self like introspection and like
and wanting to know someone.
Yeah. And like, I think it's important to sort of believe in something, even if it's just like complete bullshit. And I think just self-awareness is such an important thing, especially with people that I like make friends with. So people that can either be really interested in me talking complete bullshit or like a and like be able to share that back is
great.
I think that's so lovely.
Self-awareness is just important. I don't know, because if you're not like, at least try to be, then like you just like overlook your own toxicity all the time.
That's the thing though, like Pisces placements get so much shit for being like, you know, playing
I get it
or whatever.
No, I get it. My ex was a Pisces sun, Pisces rising, Cancer moon.
I'm so sorry.
It was something.
Yeah. Okay. No. But like they get shit for like playing the victim or whatever. But I think what goes ignored is how every Pisces, every like strong Pisces placement I've ever met has been very perceptive. And most of them are like self-perceptive, you know? So
if they're
playing the victim, they're probably not. They're probably just speaking their perspective of something. Which is really all you can do, I guess. But
I think that it's like, it's why I think Pisces placements are always like friends with each other.
Yeah.
It's like because you get it. It's like you're gonna have an argument and it's not even gonna be an argument because you just kind of say this. And then you'll like talk it out and like do like your own feelings, and then but then they can also go like depending on like the rest of your chart like so badly because I'm a Capricorn moon.
I hate that for you.
I'm such a bitch. I'm aware. And then when people push me and don't let me have my space, no. I'll fight you.
The earth dominated side of my chart is like, leave me alone. I don't like you. And if you've pissed me off, I'm simply not going to talk to you. Like, okay. Literally. Like if we're close and stuff and it's something that like has only happened once or something, I'd be like, hey, maybe don't do that. But like if you're purposefully keeping on annoying me, I'm going to be... Or, like, you don't mean something to me, you know? Like, I have patience with people I care about. But, if I've just met you and you've said something I don't like, I don't need you.
This is part of the reason why my last relationship failed, was because they just, like, kept going all the time. And see the bad guy, because I have such a temper. No, not anymore.
Yeah.
We broke off. I, like, worked on myself, like, a long time, like, with being single and stuff. And I'm, like, never angry, really. Like, in an explosive way. Anymore.
I've had like the opposite experience. I suppressed my anger for so long because I've very much been like the people pleaser. And it's the Virgo moon for me, but it's only like sort of recently where I've been like, hey, anger can be really motivating and anger can be really truthful in a way that like being sad. It can be really
channeling it into certain ways is like so productive.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so back to my questions. This one's pretty easy. What's the best advice that you've received or the best advice that you have to give?
I have a good question to this one. Well, not a good question, but a good answer. So Pete gave me the best advice.
God bless.
Ever. First semester, like to the point where like the day we met, how I went to like the BCM picnic thing and like all the like first years for this year were there and stuff, that like I gave this advice out like to them because it like was that impactful for me. So like they, it's hard to like I very very much have branded myself as like the music one, right? Like even all my like DAs and like you even asked like, how did you get into, you know, it's very much like my brand. And it just like, it has been, because like with like the start, like the first semester, like looking back on it, it was so easy, you know, first semester, even though at the time it wasn't. And because how like your DAs were like so much more broad back then, like you could do them on anything, and like and so the advice that's always given was like, do what you're interested in. And so like I did music, and like back then you could choose like what research reports you could do like on and stuff, and Pete gave me like this advice to do, if I can connect everything I do throughout uni back to like one core like thing,
yeah.
Like even if it is as broad as like music,
mm-hmm.
then like I'll get good grades because I'm interested in it and like it connects like everything I'm doing. That's really great like advice, you know. And so like I did that. I went and did a research report on the like I think it was, we had to look on like compare like Western to like countries to like other like non, so I like compared how like the like punk scene like grew or and what it is in Western countries to how it is in like the Soviet Union and like Russia and stuff and like how it's different. And what I actually found was like the specifically in like pop punk, it's very misogynistic, or it has been like the last decade, and like it's full of like abuses, like everyone's a rapist, like, and like it's bad. And then like even my favorite pop punk band, like their early stuff was so misogynistic just because like angry white boy from like the Midwest. You see, I think growing up like in like liking the music that I like, you never idolize anyone.
Yeah.
You just listen to the music and that's it. You don't idolize anyone because they're usually a bad person. But yeah, like there was like lyric, like there's this one song from like I think one of the earlier albums of like the Story So Far. Which is like one of the biggest names who like for like the sad boy pop punk era. And it's like Daughters, and it's about he's literally at a party and he's just like slut shaming a girl. But just because she's there. And it's like and like the main line is like to think that you're someone's daughter away at college, not getting smarter and stuff. And like there's all like those different, like in another song on the same album, it's like, do you even like open your eyes and like think about who you let in between your thighs and stuff, like, or something like along that line. And so it was very heavily misogynistic and like a vibe because I had so much internalized misogyny for so long.
No.
Perks of growing up as a tomboy, you end up like that. One of the like biggest names for like the last 10 years in pop punk was like Neck Deep, right?
Yeah.
It's Ben Higgs, like you know who Neck. Yeah. All right. So Ben, who's the vocalist, he like put on his story shitting on like MGK and like Modsun. And like, and even though Travis Barker was like the drummer of Blink 182, like how he's just like being a fuckhead. And then he like said this thing and he was like, an FYI, I'm all for pop punk getting some being recognized, and I'm not gatekeeping because it should be for everyone. But when you like don't put on smaller bands and you just use it to appeal to clueless celebrity circles and top 40 nominees with no respect for like the bands who have kept like the genre alive and have actually been like working within the genre, then like it's not like you're not shit, like. And that's like basically all this like spotlight pop punk is. MGK, like, have you heard anything he's done recently?
No. The last time I listened to MGK, it was when he had that weird feud with Eminem before he was anyone.
You see, I didn't mind his rap, like, and like Hotel Diablo, I think I still do think it's a great album. However, he like made a pop punk album and he decided he was God. But like, and he like, and like he recently he said how bands should stop wearing comfortable shoes at shows because it makes them not punk enough.
Okay, it's weird.
And everyone was like, "You're a fucking dickhead," you know. And then recently, like the most recent thing, this has to do with more metal though.
Yeah.
He started shitting on Slipknot.
Oh,
and saying, and even they're in saying how they're pathetic men in like their 50s. He said it at a show, like in the mic, like he just did a whole like out of like a festival that Slipknot was playing as well. Just like full stopped him, was just like, and fuck Slipknot, you know. All because Corey Taylor, like the the vocalist, didn't want to feature on his shitty pop punk album. And then, and then, like, it took to Twitter, obviously, and he was like, Corey's verse wasn't even that good or whatever, and then Corey got on Twitter and shared the email chain from like this, and it like from MGK himself, he's written, your verse is like so good and in this email chain, and Corey's just like, I just didn't want to be on your shitty album. I've gone on a complete tangent on hating him now, but what I was saying, like, the modern wave is like, it's so different. Like, pop punk never used to have like anyone of color or even women. Like, Paramore was never referred to as a pop punk band, because only a pop, because Hayley is female. Yeah. And from any name, like, you would never think of Against the Current. You probably haven't heard of who, no, again, female. So,
No.
Like, most people, like, don't even give a shit, because, like, they were banned during like this era where it was very misogynistic and so female. And then, you might, just because they're Australian, but like Tonight Alive, probably, no, yeah, but like another one, female fronted, right? And so it was just like, just white men from the Midwest, and it is no longer like that anymore. Like Magnolia Park, POC, like Meet at the Altar, like non-binary female POC, like, it's just, it's so good. And Magnolia Park is so, they're small, but like not small. Like, their connections aren't small. Like, they featured Kellan Quinn on a song, you know, like, they featured, you know, I Am J. Cool, the rapper. Okay, rapper. But like, they had him on a song that is toured with like Blue Lotus. But like, they followed me back, and the vocalist like talks to me, and I'm just like, that's so cool. Like, all from my writing, that's just insane. Like, but like in Russia, right? Such a feminist wave, like, it was so intense, like, Pussy Riot and everything, and like everything that happens over there, because it's like so different and separated from like how the West is. Yeah. And so I wrote, I'm getting back to the actual question now, but like, I wrote like this report comparing it and stuff, and I got really good grades on that, and I was like, oh wow. And like, I've like low-key found a way to integrate what I want to do with like music and like my interests into like everything. Even in things that, like, don't really fit it, like, this semester, which Pete's actually teaching, and I haven't done any work for, but, like, we'll ignore that, is, like, the games media in class, and, like, you have a DA for it. And, like, it's going to be about video games. I'm not really a gamer, right? And so I was, like, I'll analyze soundtracks of games.
Yeah,
because it relates back to music.
Yeah.
And so like that advice is like the best advice I've ever seen. And I've given it to people like first years that I met and stuff, and they're like, they look at, they're like, you know, like scared of uni, like, before. Yeah. And I was just like, be you and do what you want to, but like connect it back to everything.
Yeah.
And it'll work.
Well, my last question was, yeah, kind of ask you to just talk about the issues in the pop punk scene, but I feel like we have covered that.
Yeah, read my latest blog post, because like it's about bands that you should be paying attention to, because they're changing the way it was for the better.
Okay, thank you if you've made it all the way to the end of this podcast. Definitely go and check out Taylor's blog work and her artwork and all of that. There will be links attached in the blog post that goes along with this. So if you're coming straight from Spotify or any other streaming platform, just jump on over to tanisha.com and actually read the little blurb, get some context. Thank you for listening. I will no doubt be making another one at some point, so make sure to like, subscribe. If you're in lockdown, look after yourself. I hope uni assignments are going well if you're doing uni as well. Any feedback is welcome and invited, in fact. I need the content. See you around.